Well, today is actually our Christmas service, Christmas being Wednesday. And I'm going to begin with a scripture that you probably may not actually I'm going to begin with a scripture that isn't actually read probably on Christmas. But I think there's a method in God's madness here. We've been studying the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "The angel to the church of Philadelphia, write this down, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts, and no one opens." That's toward the end of the book. Now, if we go to the beginning of the book, we read, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, "On the same day that Noah, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons entered the ark, the Lord shut the door." You see, Noah didn't close the door to the ark. God did. And then we read in John 10:9, what does Jesus say? "I am the door." So we have an ark with an open door. That ark could have held everybody that wanted to go in there and be saved. Everybody. How many people went into that ark and got saved? 8 out of billions. It's estimated there were just as many people living in the days of Noah as right now. That's about 7.5 billion people and 8 people. Believed God, went into the ark, and received salvation. Keep those verses in your mind as we go through the story of Jesus. Because there's an ark in the parking lot. Well, if you want to think of it, it's a 747 in today's standards. And the door is open. And it will hold everybody that wants to go in there and receive salvation. Will you go through that door before God closes it? Our scripture is in Luke chapter 2 today. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And that announcement, made over 2,000 years ago, comes to each one of us by the Holy Spirit all through time. Not like those 7.5 billion that didn't hear it. Do you hear it? Because Jesus is knocking on the door. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Everybody puts it off for tomorrow. It's today, because there may not be a tomorrow. It may be too late. Let's take a little trip down to Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, it says, "Bethlehem, Ephratah, through you, yet you are little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old and from everlasting." Now, Bethlehem means house of bread. What a perfect birthplace for Jesus who's called the bread of life. And we see in our scripture there's a wide variety of people that make this trip to Bethlehem. The focus is on the birth of Christ. And it was his birth that drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Now, history tells us Caesar Augustus was ruling, but I disagree. God was in charge. Because we read last time that Mary and Joseph were betrothed to each other. And they didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. And Mary, being pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, how do we get a pregnant woman to relocate some 70 miles, maybe? In those days, to give birth in Bethlehem. Because that's where prophecy says Jesus will be born. Well, you don't. It's uncomfortable, I'm told. Especially riding on a donkey. But remember verse 37 of Luke? For with God nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. So with God in control, we come to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went to Galilee of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now they actually found records in Egypt of these census that were taken by the Roman government. Every 14 years they performed them. So in this little city called Nazareth, a young couple, both of the house of David, decree comes out that it's going to tax the world. And so they got to know how many people are there and how much to tax them. So he puts out the order. So to comply, they had to go to Bethlehem. See how God works? Late in her pregnancy, she makes this trip with her husband. Yep, she was his wife. So say you were God. Where would you want your son to be born? In a palace? No. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And because everybody was being taxed and everybody had to go back to their hometown of their family to register, Bethlehem was full up. There was no room. Interesting. The day that God came to earth, there was no room for him at any of the inns. Even today, so many people have no room for Christ. They have time for everything else. They just don't have time for him. Now, according to Roman law, Mary didn't have to go. Only the husband, the head of the household, was the one that had to go. But it made sense for her to go. She was in the later stages of her pregnancy. Controversial pregnancy, nonetheless. And I'm sure she was the subject of very much gossip in her hometown. So Joseph uses the emperor's order as a means of getting her out of this emotional stress that she was probably going through. This is a huge event. God is coming to earth in the form of a human child. And look how Luke writes it. He's so simple about it. And she brought forth her firstborn son. That's all he says. The God of the universe that created everything, who spoke all the worlds in existence. We know him as the King of Kings. He comes to earth in the form of a tiny baby, much like that one there. And Luke says, as she brought forth her first son and just wrapped him up in some cloths, like it was a everyday nothing event. So that phrase has to be filled with wonder. And you have to question in your mind, did anyone help Mary? Was she alone? A young teenage girl, completely separated from her family and her friends? And did she do all these things herself? I think she did. It infers to me that God helped her through this with a painless birth. She wrapped Jesus, it says, in swaddling clothes. Not Joseph. Not the midwife. Mary laid him in the manger. It wasn't just a lonely birth for Mary. It was kind of a lowly birth for Jesus. Take your son that you just have here and lay him in the feeding trough of an animal. When Mary said, "Be it to me unto your word, according to your word," this was a life she was saying yes to. A life of ridicule, gossip, maybe even shunning. When we say yes to the calling of Jesus, don't expect the world to beat a path to your door. They're going to hate you. You're going to be alone. You don't conform to their standards. But everyone who perseveres, the rewards are great. Maybe not in this life, but in the life that is eternal, the rewards are great. There were others that came to Bethlehem that night. Angels from heaven. First one. And then we read a whole host of them. Verse 8. I'm still in Luke. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, it says. And behold, an angel. That tells me one. An angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, it's pretty much thought that these shepherds were the temple shepherds, because they offered a lamb every morning and every evening in the temple. They had to make sure they had a plenty supply of qualified lambs. So they had their own shepherds to assure this. So it was only fitting that the first ones to see the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, who's going to take away the sins of the world, were shepherds. Because he's our great shepherd. The most exciting event in all history takes place and everybody is sleeping. The world is asleep. You know, it's still asleep today, except for believers. God takes on human form so that he can redeem them. And the news that everybody should know about, and it should be on the headlines, and nobody's awake. And so the angel looks over the area and he sees, shepherds, a little campfire over there. And he goes over there and he tells them. Gives them the good news, so to speak. Good news is the gospel. Unto you this day is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the angel says to him, verse 10, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings, he says, of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then he gives them information that they need. He says, this is going to be the sign for you. You're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So now there's a whole crowd of angels up in the sky and all over and around these shepherds. And I'm sure they were still laying face down on the ground. The long-awaited Messiah had finally come. And nobody knew about it except these lowly shepherds watching their sheep. I call them lowly shepherds because shepherds was considered the lowest class of people. They were uneducated, mostly. They were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law. And it was to these outcast socialites that the shining presence of an angel comes and interrupts this dark, quiet night. Jesus comes to us the same way. Doesn't matter what your status is, rich, poor, female, male, adult, child, doesn't matter. Jesus comes to us one-on-one. So let me suggest to you, the next time your sleep is interrupted, maybe the Lord has some good news he wants to talk to you about. So just lay there a second before you roll over, go back to sleep. See if he has something to say. And if he does, do what these shepherds did. What did the shepherds do? It says, after the angel had gone away from them, verse 15, they said to one another, let's now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass that the Lord made known to us. It says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So now the shepherds come to Bethlehem. After hearing from God, there is nothing on their heart that is more important than going and finding their Savior. Not even watching their sheep. They left them. What is most important in your world today? They didn't hesitate at all. Immediately, let us now go. when the Holy Spirit calls us to Christ, don't wait another moment at all. Don't wait till tomorrow. Why? The verb found, it says they went with haste and found. That word means they had to search. It's a search. They had to search and look for Christ. They knew what to look for. It was a baby wrapped up in strips of cloth in a feeding trough of an animal. I don't think too many people born that night were stuffed in a feeding trough, wrapped up in strips of cloth, torn. And they kept seeking until they found him. And that's what we have to do. Jesus says, seek and you'll find it. That word seek is keep seeking. Don't stop until you find Christ. The shepherds put the perfect example for us to imitate today. They received faith by the message of God, and then they responded with immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. And after they found Christ, it says they reported the good news to everyone they met. And that's what a good Christian does. He comes to faith, he accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior and is born again, and then he witnesses for Christ. No, he doesn't stand up and preach. Everybody's not a preacher. But when he's talking to people, he shares his faith. And that's what these shepherds did. They shared the good news that they were told. They took the place of the angels that gave them the good news. And then they humbly returned back to their old job of tending sheep. See, you don't have to quit your job to be a good witness for Christ. You go back to that old, boring job, whatever it is, and let your life be a witness. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be successful. God can use anyone, anywhere, anytime. You just have to be available. And when God speaks, respond. Responding means you obey him. Doesn't matter who you are in this world. What matters is who you are before Christ. Now, it's common for us to give gifts at Christmas time because of the first gift that was given us. It's recorded. Here's the first gift that was given us. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was the first gift. God the Father gave us the gift of his Son. His Son gives us the gift of his love, dying for us on the cross. We give the gift of love to everyone. And Christ says, the world will know you're my disciple because you have love for one another. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. That's what he says. Open your treasure chest and present to Jesus the most precious item that you have. Your heart. Give me your heart. Now, before I close out, I want to consider three names that were assigned to the Son of God. Jesus means Savior. Comes from the Hebrew word Joshua. Means Jehovah is salvation. There's a lot of Jewish boys with the name Jehovah. Joshua, or in the Greek, Jesus. It was a common name. But the son born from Mary was called Jesus the Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. The Greek equivalent of Messiah. He is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is his human name, but Christ is his official title. Emmanuel describes who he is. God with us. Jesus is the Christ, is God, is our King. Now Herod was opposing the king, and the Jewish priests were ignoring the king. The priests knew the scriptures and pointed others to the Savior, but they wouldn't go worship him themselves. They were 5 miles away in Jerusalem, and they would not go to Bethlehem to see the Son of God. How about us? Jesus was born, lived, and died for us. Have we come to him? Not in the head. Oh, a lot of people in the head know Jesus intellectually. But have you come to Bethlehem with your heart? You don't have to go 5 miles. You don't have to go 1 mile. You don't even have to go 10 feet. Scripture tells us that where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. He's right here today. Reach out, embrace him. Today is the day of salvation. Come and receive him right now. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, who lowered himself to the human form so that he would save the world. May we too spread the love of Jesus every day, not just on Christmas. In Jesus' name we come to you, Lord. Amen.